there. Now turn things over to Darren Hudson for our final presentation before maybe we have a the missing presentation might be a good time for some Q&A before we had the final two presentations before the first break. Thank you, Darren.
Well, it's slightly colder in Lubbock than it is here, and for once in the history of Lubbock, there's more attention paid to a football coach than there is to cotton. So I kid the AP reporter in Lubbock that she may never write an ag story again. She's made a career out of the last couple of weeks writing stories on Mike Leach. To kind of continue the international flavor, I guess, I want to talk a little bit about a project that we did examining the impacts of increased minimum support prices in India. And as you'll see, you know, we do this through the standard policy model that we operate the Cotton Economics Research Institute. And so I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors, Sue and Pan, who basically runs the model, and Maria, who then writes it, and me in the middle, who takes credit for everything. Or the blame, either way. Of course, we know that domestic subsidies have been a fairly major source of contention during the WTO negotiations, and U.S. subsidies have been particularly singled out as targets for discipline or examples of what not to do. And so that attention has been, you know, on the forefront for quite a while. In many countries, especially in the developing world, insist that these subsidies, these domestic subsidies that exist in the United States and others, represent significant barriers to trade. And so this is the grounds by which we are on this argument. But we all know that these countries utilize domestic subsidies of their own. Now, they may take different forms. You know, the U.S. and European or developed countries tend to use more direct income or price support mechanisms. Developing countries have tended to use more input subsidies, basically because of the logistics of how to get the money out there, and that was a more efficient way. But several of the developing countries have now emulated their developed counterparts in developing policies that look remarkably similar to the U.S. India, for example, uses what's called a minimum support price, or an MSP, which is substantially similar to the U.S. loan program. It's a base price. In this case, in India, it operates off a seed cotton basis in its variety and region specific, but nonetheless, it operates very similarly. It's a minimum price that the producers will receive for their output. Now, the MSP in India is not new. This has been around a while, but it's never really been in play in terms of its impacts on global markets. The government of India sets that minimum support price annually. And again, as I said, it's on a seed cotton basis, so we have to do some conversions and jump through hoops and hurdles to come out with something that looks resembles something we're used to. But suffice it to say, in September 2008, we had a major change. The government of India stepped in with a major intervention and announced significant increases in the minimum support price, ranging from 26% to 48%, depending on the variety, growth region, that sort of thing. Gary Adams estimated the lin equivalent based on that announcement. It's somewhere around 72 cents a pound. That's the number he put out. My colleagues at ERS, Steve McDonald, told me the other day he thinks maybe it's a little bit lower, but it basically depends on what varieties you think are being grown where and predominantly. So somewhere, you know, in the high 60s to low 70s is a reasonable number to look at. In either case, the minimum support price is above market price now. So it obviously then, from economic standpoint, must be having an impact because it is now setting a price, a minimum price, that is above the market clearing price. In 2008 as well, Cotton Corporation of India was authorized to purchase 11.7 million bales from the Indian crop to maintain that minimum support price. As we've heard some discussions over the last day or so, they're now beginning to liquidate some of those stocks, move them out. We think we may, you know, bleed off some of the excess inventory over the next year or so. We'll see what happens. But at any rate, the point here is that the government has stepped in with a major intervention, and that the price at their target for the minimum support price is above world market prices. So we set about with a question of, okay, if government steps in with this sort of intervention, what kind of impact do we anticipate it to have on world markets? Because so much attention is paid to the price suppressing effects of U.S. subsidies and other developing country subsidies, we thought it might be a useful exercise to look at the price suppressing effects of some of our developing market colleagues. We utilized our global fiber market model at the Cotton Economics Research Institute, which is a policy model that we maintain and operate as a part of the FAPRI consortium. It's a partial equilibrium structural economic model. It's a dynamic partial equilibrium model. And, you know, so I won't belabor you with the 10,000 equations that go into that. What we did, though, is we estimated a global market equilibrium using the status quo conditions under the old minimum support price. Then we re-estimated the global equilibrium under the new minimum support price in India to get a comparison of what the overall effects would be on prices, trade, that sort of thing. I note here what our assumption here is that the new minimum support price at 27,500 rupees per metric ton, which converts to roughly 72 cents per pound equivalent, using a gin turnout rate of 35%. Who knows what the gin turnout rate is actually, but you know, that's probably a reasonable assumption. Looking at the world market, I've got the two cells here. The one on the left represents the 2009-2010. So this is sort of the first year impacts of our structural change. And then the second column represents the average of that impact over the 2014. That forecasting's hard enough over the next 2 years. we don't want to go there. But if you look, just for an example, in the first year, we would forecast a index 6641 without the increase in the minimum support price. If you layer in the increase in the minimum support price, you result in an index of 6232, or a 6.2% you know, 6.2% decrease in the A index in the first year as a result of that policy. If you carry that out over the forecast horizon, you'll notice over here in red, I mark this in red, it's a negative 2.8% impact on the A index. And the reason I mark that in red, it's a very interesting number, is that is approximately equal to the forecasted impact of removing the entire U.S. cotton program. So if you took out the entire U.S. cotton program, you would get somewhere between 1.5% and 4% increase in world market prices. If you just take the increase in the minimum support price in India, it has roughly the same impact as the whole entire U.S. program. So that's a pretty significant number in my mind in terms of the overall trade distorting impacts of the Indian program. Again, you don't see much change globally on the production numbers, you know, roughly 0.29% increase in global production. And you get a little bit of a bump in mill use over time as a result of that as well. Specifically in India, you'll notice that you know, the prices are about over time, you know, over the forecast period, roughly 2.6% reduction in the market price in India as a result of that program. Again, because the government is picking up the tab for the drop in price, you do get a significant increase in production. Again, if you go back to WTO, that's a pretty stark example of trade distortion when you alter production that much. And then if you look at exports, there's a pretty significant increase in exports in year one, but it's maintained over the entire period, unlike a lot of variables which will adjust over time as things change. The export numbers from India remain very high under the minimum support price program. So that's an interesting result. And then focusing in on the U.S., again, we see a 2.5% reduction in the U.S. farm price. We only see a modest decline in U.S. production, but that's again because the U.S. government is making up the difference in the decline in price through the loan program and other programs. So the production changes aren't substantial in terms of what this program will do to U.S. producers. And again, it doesn't change U.S. exports all that much. There's a slight decline in U.S. exports. So the primary impact is domestically in India and a little bit of exports and what India is exporting. So to conclude, well, I'm gonna save us some time here. Looking at India and the minimum support price, it has a significant impact on world cotton production and trade flows. And so, again, going back to this WTO argument about what is and what is not trade distorting, there's pretty substantial evidence here that program alone is trade distorting. But it's not subject to WTO discipline right now because of their developing country status. So even though we can set up here and pretty clearly delineate what's happening in terms of global cotton prices and trade, we can't do much about it because it's a developing country. Now, this is a step that India has taken, you know, in the myriad of things that are going on in the world. It's hard to trace out direct effects observed out in the real world, but our analysis shows that pretty clearly. And again, just to stress that last point, the minimum support price has roughly the same total impact on world market prices as the total U.S. cotton program. So if that's all of the direct and direct payments, countercyclical payments, and other payments into the cotton program, if you removed all those, it would have roughly, depending on the years that you used, anywhere from 1.5% to 3.5% to 4% impact on world prices. So this one increase has a pretty substantial impact and is indicative of the size of India in the overall global cotton market, I think is how you pass the smell test on that. But with that, I'll close and turn over the remainder of the time. I think you're going to open it up for questions for the panelists previous.